story is called Velatrix. You guys are in for a treat. I'll try to read it really quick. The story itself is in my bio. Let's get to it. We got to the building just as night was coming on. I watched a professional-looking woman sipping from one of those plastic ladle-looking things they give you when you order soup. It's really good. I've gone out there with Molly before. Molly's never been inside and upstairs, though, where all the whores and freaks live and die. Sylvia told Molly on the phone that Stan lives in apartment 11. We buzzed the door, popped open. There's the screen banging clatter. There's no way to make her ready for the carpet. It's screaming deep beat magenta overall, but you can see where it's been worn down to various shades of pink from all the human traffic. Molly and I like to go to buildings or very public places to indulge in each other. Walking down store aisles or making out in elevators makes us feel like lust spies. The slutty carpet in the hall and on the stairs was hitting her now, and I knew it when I turned to her for a look, and she was staring right back at me with that look that says, I wouldn't care if this were the fucking apocalypse. You're here right now, and I want you. We kissed a few stairs up. I guess the residue was overwhelming. And after some tongue twisting, we jumped up the stairs and found Stan's hallway, and finally his door, which had a poster of Mao on it. Maybe that was Stan's style of humor, some sardonic commentary on living in the building with the yellow dragon on it. I beat Molly to the knock. I could smell delicious sticky marijuana and good incense coming from his place. Stan opened the door wearing a really cool orange trip shirt unbuttoned. He looked like Jim Morrison and Keith Richards had a baby together and lived to be 27. He had the doorknob in one hand and a cigarette in the other. He said something like, hey, oh, you two are Sylvie's roommates. We said, yeah, and he let us in. The place looked almost classy, and I admit, cooler than my apartment. It was like he had spent a lifetime refining graphic clips of anti-heroes. It wasn't the usual splatter of junk that people put on walls that surround them. This guy was like a curator of social undercurrents. He had taste and the books on the shelves to back it up. I'm always amazed when I walk into a place that isn't construction, but rather the projection of someone's imagination and whole being. We walked over and sat down on the 60s green couch where a glass pipe was still smoking. I was immediately envious. I couldn't place it. There was something about his presence that made me feel like a nitwit. In my own mind, I managed to keep myself cooler than everyone. I always win, because I can dismiss most people a little like a sociopath. They don't know a fucking thing about me, let alone anything else in the world that I care about. But Stan was real. There was no way I could write him off. He looked so harmonious with whatever philosophy he was possessed with that I was sure I could tell him that the moon was about to smash into the earth and it wouldn't even faze him. He gestured to the pipe. While I was hitting it, Molly broke the news. I was right. It didn't even faze him. He was matter-of-fact about it. He said he would go downtown and bail Sylvie out. He said something about finding his checkbook, just like that. I was relieved, and the blueberry kush or whatever it is that weed was helping to turn all this into a rather enjoyable experience. Molly was smoking too, but nothing ever put her out of her element. I swear you could shoot her up with elephant tranquilizer, enough drugs to lay down a rhino, and she'd just smile it off. I was starting to get a little pissed. It was weird that we all sat around cool as cucumbers and time's dripping by and finished the bowl while Sylvie was sitting God knows where. The fucking clink, the fucking lockup. I was feeling spacey and a little paranoid. Molly and Stan were standing up. All of a sudden, they're like, let's ready to go. Well, I was still half glued to the couch soaking in Stan's atmosphere. The three of us left the apartment down the pink-worn steps and out the steel mesh-reinforced door. Stan said he could take care of it alone and thanked us for coming over. He turned right, we turned left. A different-looking professional was sipping soup straight from the bowl. Like any utensil was just getting in the way. I could see my reflection in the window glass. Molly grabbed my hand and said, "Let's go to Joe's." And I could tell she was amped after her little adventure and wanted to babble about anything and everything like we always do. Sometimes, despite all the drugs we do, coffee still manages to get us off. I love that diner. Though I would blame it on love. But she calls that a four-letter word and doesn't like to hear it abused. We walked over a few blocks to where Joe's is. A few of Molly's raver friends were standing outside performing some feat of loitering. I let them blab at each other and went inside and found a table next to the window. They really seemed to get off on chattering away about outfits and haircuts and that sort of thing. I didn't want to spoil their fun. Kim, the waitress, had come with two coffees. She could see Molly out the window. Kim's really hip to us. She has at least 10 bracelets on each arm. I like to picture her 20 years younger, sticking needles in her perfect veins. I guess that's kind of sick, but I don't know why the image intrigues me, but it does. I can even see her boyfriend driving around in a Mustang. I can see them on the nod in a dingy apartment, all of it just in her eyes. I was reaching for sugar when I noticed Molly. She was kissing up against the window with her shirt half pulled up. I took my lips off my cup and leaned over the napkins and condiments and matched her raspberry mischief, kissing the window. Her friends started walking down the street, either freaked out or more likely simply bored with us, watching just another extroverted bit of affection. They might call it perverted or disgusting, but Molly and I aren't afraid of germs and we're not bothered by onlookers. Just as long as it's fast. If you're fast enough, you can do anything. That's Velotrix. That's how we live. Anything for the thrill of the moment. The hardcore now. Immediacy. You practice ingesting anything just to show your body can exist on it. We know better to drink carpet cleaner. So far, anyway. That's our joke when we're really bored. Let's go drink antifreeze. Fuck it. Anything chemical, caustic, or with a menacing ring to it. We're addicted to the laughter, knowing how close we are to the truth when we say things like that. It's the only way to get over the itch we always feel together, the drugs and creative intelligence. I'll leave it right there as a teaser. I've only got 10 minutes here. Oh, I've got 2 more minutes. Okay, I'll be right back here. Let's see. She unstuck herself from the window and came inside and sat across from me in the booth. We always do it that way so we can lean down low and get our legs in between each other's for the press. Molly looked a little preoccupied, mutilating her fork and running the tines up and down her arm. I knew there was the thing with Ray, and then there was the matter with Sylvia. I just came to the conclusion that Sylvia would be okay and stopped worrying about it. Talking about Ray wasn't going anywhere we hadn't been 20 times before, so we just left it alone. She was still fucking with the fork. I decided to ask her what was on her mind, which I don't usually do because it ends up pissing us both off inevitably and getting that awkward stage, but I couldn't help myself. She said it was Stan. She was being honest. I was thinking about him too. I was thinking about how this was just like the time I met a girl named Amanda at a party and flirted with her half the night, totally engaged and ignoring Molly. You have to put up with bits of jealousy or occasional crush in this, the best of all possible relationships. It's the truth. That's Velotrix on the evil side of the coin. In order for us to be free, we have to swallow any attraction to anyone else and talk each other through it. I told her I thought Stan was cool, too. Molly likes to be right, so I let her, and it's better than giving her something to argue about. Arguing's a waste of fucking time. And treating things like that with a kind of a casual indifference smothers the bothersome situations. You just move on. There wasn't any argument to be had anyway, though, because we were both fascinated about him. We had actually found someone who was cooler than us. He felt cool. Fucking cool. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was there. I was feeling a little dethroned. I could tell Molly's cogs were spinning. I could hear them. It gave me a headache.